And welcome to Thrift Shop Biography. This is the one about Zsa Zsa Gabor. Thank you for listening. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Overwhelmed.
Yeah. Have you also been reading the hugely entertaining life story of Zsa Zsa Gabor?
I have.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Bloody hell. One lifetime is not enough, she says, and it's true.
It's true.
This is 19 people's lives. Oh, we've got to just start.
We can't just start because I have to ask you, like I do every week, what did you know about Zsa Zsa Gabor before you read this book?
Darling, that sort of thing. Very glamorous. Almost comical, I would say.
Yeah, because we obviously would have found out about her in the 1980s, at which point I didn't know she had this illustrious black and white Hollywood film career. She was just kind of a bit of a almost parody of herself
at that point.
I think she played up to it a lot.
I do, yeah.
But she would just come on talk shows and be this grand dame of camp figure.
Yeah.
I knew that people liked her, but I also thought they kind of laughed at her a bit. But I think she kind of embraced all that. So she was more of a kitsch icon than a Hollywood glamour star, right?
Didn't know her life, did you? Had no idea.
No, I didn't know any of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that she slapped a policeman because that happened in the 80s, right? But like anything before that, nothing.
I have to say, this is the most delicious edible autobiography possibly so far. I kept putting it down because I didn't want it to end ever. It's like bubbly cheese on toast. It's like absolutely sumptuous
on every single page.
Every single page.
She's just this unabashed name dropper, isn't she?
Oh my God.
It's like I was trying to think of somebody, a man, a Hollywood male who was not in this book.
Yeah, you can't. Right, let's go.
Let's go. Zsa Zsa Gabor. No, sorry, Zsa Zsa Gabor. Oh, no, the book actually starts with her in prison.
It does, actually.
I didn't expect it to start in prison. And in fact, even though I've just said I remember she hit a cop, I'd forgotten about that. So when this book begins with her in prison, you think, oh, my God, she's in prison. How? Oh.
I have to say, she was only in there for 3 days. She dedicates about 20 pages to every single minute of that 3 days.
I know, but you imagine the life she's lived. 3 days in prison is like hell on earth for this woman, isn't it?
Well, it did seem to be, yeah.
She couldn't cope.
She really couldn't.
Yeah.
And actually, she did say the guards actually looked after her a little bit because they could see how scared she was. She was shaking all over.
Yeah.
Terrified her.
Hey.
But she's been through some stuff. I don't know how that scared her so much because she's been through some shit.
Yeah, she sure has.
Yep.
So life started for little Sari Zsa Zsa Gabor in Hungary.
The date is questionable.
Well, she doesn't say the date in this book.
She doesn't say.
And through further investigations, it turns out
it could be about 1917.
Oh, the date on Wikipedia is 1917.
Right.
The ages she says she is in this book at certain times do not tally with that at all.
Yeah, it throws all the ages right out. Yeah. So let's just leave it as
we'll take her age with a pinch of salt whenever she brings it up, because she brings it up a lot.
Yeah,
she likes to accentuate the age gap between her and her husband.
She loves it.
Yeah.
She died 50 days short of 100.
Oh, I know.
So she had an amazingly long life.
She really did.
It was pretty grim near the end, though, mind you.
So she says one lifetime is not enough. She had a longer lifetime than most, actually.
She really did. She was wealthy. She was from a wealthy family. Her dad's family were all in the diamond business.
Mm-hmm.
So she grew up in a mansion in Budapest with 17 servants. And she begins by saying that she had a liaison with the coal man who she ran to meet at the gates and snogged him, but she got busted because she had coal all over her face. She was 12.
Yeah, I know, right?
And he was 26. So she was a rebel. But her mum bred her and her two sisters, all very beautiful. Their main aspiration in life was to marry rich, intelligent and powerful men.
So do you think that's Zsa Zsa's rebellion at the age of 12 is actually kissing the coal man?
Yes.
Because she is being groomed to marry a millionaire.
Yeah.
I think having that coal dust on her face, I think she wanted to be found out.
Yes.
That she'd snogged a commoner. So she's already rebelling.
Yeah. So her dad's the wealthy one and her mum was an aspiring actress. So it's that balance the whole time. I mean, I imagine her mum was very sophisticated, but also bred. It's high-class prostitution, isn't it? Let's just say it now.
Well,
but that's the culture of the upper classes for all time. That's what women are bred for.
To marry into the wealthy family.
And provide heirs. But that's what, well, I'm going to call it that.
Okay.
love's not mentioned.
Also, dad is 20 years older than mum.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a running theme through Zsa Zsa's life.
Precedent.
She also says that dad was a wild man. He had an unquenchable temper. He was insanely jealous, incredibly generous, and extremely loving to me.
Yeah.
This is where her daddy issues begin and never leave her throughout her entire life.
Yeah, she says she's sort of always been searching for a man to replace her dad, and nobody can ever really match up.
And she ends up with people who look just like him.
Yeah. Then almost each man she's with, she says, no one will ever beat that. She loves each one the most.
When her mum is out at the Ritz getting a manicure, Wallis Simpson is there getting a manicure. And the Prince of Wales, Edward, is there as well. And he gets down on his knees and blows Wallis Simpson's freshly painted nails dry. Zsa Zsa Gabor's mum is witness to this. She's so taken aback with this act of chivalry that when she gets home, she writes a letter to Buckingham Palace to the Prince of Wales saying, please, can you marry my daughter when she's old enough? She's currently 12.
She's whoring her out.
Wow.
But I guess that bloke was the heir to the throne at that point. Yeah. I don't think he...
Yeah, no, he was a Prince of Wales at that point, yeah.
She's whoring her daughters out to pretty high up.
Yeah.
She actually thought that was possible. So that's how much she's been bred to believe that the top is possible to aim for. Well, my mum would never have written to Buckingham Palace, shit me off.
Your mum would have written to Cliff Richard. Also, Zsa Zsa's grandma, the dad's mum, she owned the Diamond House, which was the big diamond trading centre in Hungary and across Europe, I think.
Mm, yeah.
But she also, she liked the finer things in life. And Zsa Zsa said, like, when she was a little girl, if she had a fever, granny would give her champagne and stuff. So, yeah, she had quite an extraordinary childhood, didn't she?
Yeah. And also her mum was a massive flirt. And very beautiful, and all the men wanted her, to the point where she used to receive letters, and once she actually ate one at the dinner table to stop her husband reading it.
So Zsa Zsa's got two sisters, Magda, who is older, and Eva, who is younger. Zsa Zsa's in the middle, and actually, when they're younger, Zsa Zsa is the plain one. Yeah. And I think this is why her dad takes a shine to her. She's a bit more of a tomboy, and they do things like fencing and stuff together. So I think the connection, you know, we read a lot of these books, and actually, like with Jane Fonda, she was a tomboy. And if a dad only has three daughters, he'll relate to the one who's more...
Yeah,
masculine,
but chicken and egg, because which comes first? Because do they become tomboys to make the dad like them more?
Ah, interesting.
Because that was the Jane Fonda thing.
Yes, maybe. Zsa Zsa clearly has daddy issues.
Yeah. Weirdly, Zsa Zsa's the only one that had a massive amount of plastic surgery. So maybe she always felt like the less pretty one.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Mm. Maybe she was more plain when they were actually...
younger.
Children, yeah. So she has this immensely privileged childhood, but then she also goes, she's shipped off to a Swiss school in Lausanne.
With all the aristocratic English girls. God, bloody hell, she speaks so many languages. She's very well educated.
Yeah, she
speaks
is.
Speaks like eight languages or something.
And then her mum enters her into Miss Hungary and she wins... But it's discovered that she's too young, which is a shame because surprise is a trip to Cannes in France. And so they can't go. Zsa Zsa is so upset that the dad then pays for mum and Zsa Zsa to go to Vienna for a short break, which alters the course of her entire life.
Yeah, everyone loves her. It's like that aristocratic thing where you come out into society.
Like your debut, you're a debutante.
Yeah, that's the one. They'll be in the poshest hotels, meeting everybody, and everyone's like, ooh, who is this?
She says in her first night in Vienna, she is discovered and gets a part in an opera.
Yeah.
There's no sign before that that she can even sing or anything, right?
No, right. This is the funny thing. She ends up with this whole career doing cabaret shows, and I can't find any trace of them. She doesn't say what she does. I can't find trace of them online. I don't know what her act is. Does she sing? Because there's one film where she sings, but then it says in that film, actually, she's miming to someone else singing her bit. So can she sing? What's her act?
I had the same feeling, especially when she talks about having a Las Vegas career, and you kind of think, is it a comedy? I mean, she is very funny.
She's very funny. I imagine it's a lot of talking, but does she sing then? Would she dance?
Maybe she sings a couple of comedy tunes so she doesn't have to see. She's not Shirley Bassey, is she?
Yeah, but I don't know. But anyway, all right, I'm glad you don't know either.
No, I don't know. And she's certainly not known for being a singer, cabaret star. So when I had the same feeling when I read that. I just kind of thought, well, what does she actually do?
You don't listen to a Zsa Zsa Gabor record, do you?
Do you? I don't. Do you?
I don't.
So she's in this opera in Vienna at the age of 15. And she says she has a flirtation with the composer, Willy Schmidt Kentner, who she says was considerably older. So I checked it out. He was 23 years older. She's 15 and he's 38. The theme, the tones of her life have already began here.
Obviously,
in Vienna.
She's a very sexual being if she's snogging coal men at 12. So bearing that in mind, after this amazing experience, she does not want to go back to school.
No.
She says, right, there was this bloke who used to hang around with in their house. They obviously had amazing people always around at their house. He's called Burnham Belge, and he was the award-winning author and the Turkish ambassador to Budapest. He was also the leader of Turkey's nationalist movement called Young Turks. It was very political. Anyway, he used to be around their house when she was a little girl saying, I'm going to marry you when you grow up. Because she's a gorgeous little girl. So she phones him up as a way of not going to school and says, do you remember saying you're going to marry me? Well, please, will you marry me? It took her 3 days to talk him into it. And then he did. Married a 16-year-old girl.
So she went off to Turkey.
Yeah, she moved to Turkey as the ambassador's wife. And lived. Yeah, I mean, she's brave.
She is brave, but also at the age of, what, barely 16... She's now living with this Turkish political figure, and she says her life is all of a sudden conspiracy, revolution and political intrigue.
Yeah, because all these young people were around there, I was plotting.
And she's going to dinners every night with ambassadors and foreign dignitaries. Yeah. I mean, but she is a society girl, and she's been to that Swiss school, so I guess she knows at this point how to conduct herself, how to talk to people. And she is very confident, and she's confident in the way she looks.
Yeah. She'd have been around that adult chatter around the dining table with all those guests all the time.
All her life.
It is still absolutely crazy. She says when they were on the train on the way there, he came into her compartment and she was crying and holding the dog. But he actually didn't go anywhere near her because of the dog, because he thought it was gross. But she remained a virgin. They never slept
They never
together.
Consummated their marriage.
No, I guess he was just freaked out because she was actually a child.
Yeah.
Maybe he saw her without makeup and went, oh, what have I done?
I don't know. I think most men would like to shag a 16-year-old, especially if they were married to them.
Yeah, but he had a lot of mistresses anyway, apparently.
But you know what? He was going all over Europe and they'd go to London and she would accompany him and they would have dinner at Downing Street with Anthony Eden and H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw. You know, at the age of 16, these are the people she's socialising with.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
She is very funny. So she's probably hilarious then and beautiful.
She's telling us that every single man she ever meets is completely enamoured with her.
Yeah.
But I kind of get that they would be.
They would be, but...
It's like this is a book written by a woman who believes she is the most attractive woman in the entire world. Yeah. Every single man on this planet finds completely irresistible.
Yeah.
And even the men, she talks about all the men she married, but even the men that she didn't marry, she could have married them if she wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
Because they all wanted to marry her.
It's true, but I guess underneath it all, she's quite old-fashioned and she can be possessed. You know, she would be owned.
Yes, and at times she gets propositioned by very sexy famous men and she says, no, because I'm married.
Yeah.
But then at other times she does have affairs. She just does what she wants to do. She's her own woman.
She's so contradictory. Sometimes you think she's really old-fashioned. Other times she's a hoe. You just don't know where to place her.
She's an old-fashioned hoe.
Yeah. I'm absolutely fascinated by this human being. This is blowing my mind.
Oh, God, I'm completely entertained by this book. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. So she's with Belge, married to this Turkish political figure, and she's not having sex with him. Mm. But at the time, the ruler of Turkey is Kemal Atatürk.
Yeah, Atatürk is legendary, isn't he? Because he's the first president of Turkey, and he founded democracy and brought Turkey into the modern times.
He's a national hero.
Yes.
And 85% of the women of Turkey want to sleep with him.
85!
That's what she said.
I think 15% are gay.
They have easily to be, because who wouldn't want to sleep with Ataturk?
Yeah, very desirable. 51-year-old man, very powerful, very charismatic, and famed to be a voracious lover.
Mm.
He's literally absolutely legendary in that department.
And at this moment in time, when Zsar Zsar is 16, Ataturk is in his early 50s. Oh, but she's not 16, right? Because she's lying about her age. Is that it?
She was 16 when she got married, right?
Yeah, this is the thing. There's grey areas because...
Yeah, and then you almost have to skip 10 years if you're going to believe her.
Yeah.
So God knows.
But anyway, there's a gap.
She was that young and she was a virgin and she was out shopping. She had to entertain herself by the days.
She was drinking coffee in an antique shop.
That's
and
right.
She was approached by a man who gave her a silver key and said, "There's a man who only wants the best for you. He's not going to hurt you, but he'd like to see you. Here is a key. This is the address. Turn up any day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you shall see him." She says she's kind of scared, but she's young, so she doesn't care. About 3 days later, she goes to the address with this silver key, opens the door. There's a man. This is just so bizarre. There's a man sat in a big wooden carved chair that she realizes is Ataturk. Because
yeah,
they'd seen each other. Their eyes had met across a room
or something.
Yeah. And I think he'd already shagged Belge's previous wife, actually.
Probably.
Ataturk. It's probably animal.
Most of the nation.
Yeah. And she says she stood there. She realizes who it is. And then this troop of dancing ladies come out waving all their scarves around, doing this traditional dance. And then eventually they get beckoned to go away. And then she is with Ataturk.
He's also waited there for 3 days.
That's right. He's
so
a bit annoyed with
off.
Her. Yeah. Because he's been waiting there at 4 o'clock with a troop of dancing ladies.
Ready. And he's trying to run the country at the same time.
And Zsar Zsar hasn't turned up. He's like, where is she? Do they get right down to it straight away?
Yes, they do. And she says he ruined her for future men.
Because he was such an amazing lover.
Yeah, they had very interesting times and creative and, you know, I don't know.
What, sexually creative? What do you mean?
All of that sort of thing.
So, but he took her virginity, right?
Yeah.
In a creative way.
Creatively, yes.
Yeah. But they ended up having an affair, right?
Well, yeah. 6 month affair right up until his death.
Which wasn't long after, actually.
No, she
shagged him to death. Well, he should have known better.
Yeah. She was absolutely gutted. She had to pretend she wasn't.
Yeah.
Because it was a secret, but she was absolutely gutted. And not that long after that comes the war. It's 1941. This is where it becomes dubious because that's quite a long time after her birth, if you believe Wikipedia.
Yes.
But anyway, this bit rings true, so it's just her age that's in question. But she had to get out of Turkey because of the war.
Yeah, and the Nazis were moving in.
They were coming in.
What I find absurd, when she says, it's really imperative that I leave, and she's making this kind of, we've seen 100 war films, we see these people fleeing, and she's kind of building up like, oh, I have to leave straight away. Yeah. She's, Eva, her sister, is already in America.
Yeah, she's
in Los Angeles.
Because she married a doctor.
Greta Garbo's doctor.
That's right.
And she's an actress.
Yes.
So Zsar Zsar's fleeing to go and stay with her, but she says, so she has to flee. I left on the Orient Express with 21 pieces of luggage.
Yeah.
That's her concept of fleeing.
Yeah, this refugee life. Yeah. Oh, she would have got, that would have, she'd have been killed. She would definitely have been killed, though. She left her husband saying she just wanted to visit her family. So she got to Budapest. Then her other sister had married a Portuguese diplomat. They got a diplomatic passport, and that's what got them out. She went out. Well, she got an ambassador's wife's passport.
But her mum and dad
got her mum
out
and her dad, yeah. Because they would have been killed because her grandmother and her uncle were slaughtered. So, I mean, bloody hell. It was pretty on the edge because she actually said her journey. I actually looked at a map and followed it because it's amazing because they didn't go the way you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't go via Germany, so they went the other way. And they went through, on the Orient Express, yeah. With the stress, though, they went through Sofia in Bulgaria. She went through it hours, just hours before the SS marched in. You know, it's quite hair-raising, actually. And then through Ankara, Basra, Karachi, Bombay, So they went all that way and then a 6-week boat to America.
Well, she was detained in Baghdad for a month,
right,
because they thought she was a spy,
yeah,
because she was married to the ambassador.
Yeah.
So she stayed there for a month. I wonder, she doesn't talk about that, like in what circumstances she was held.
No. That's incredibly frightening, that period and that journey. Yeah, lovely transport, luggage, but terribly frightening. And I reckon that'll be why she had flashbacks when she ended up in prison.
Yeah.
She was so scared. Mm-hmm. She doesn't mention that, but... Mm-hmm.
So she gets on the ship to America and then eventually ends up in Los Angeles with her sister.
Yeah.
And then through some people she'd met in Turkey, she phones them up and says, I'm in Los Angeles. They said, oh, you need to go and see our friends, the Rathbones. And it's Basil Rathbone. And so now she's being invited to his house for dinner. And it's with David Niven, Cary Grant, Stravinsky, Laurence Olivier, Vivian Leigh.
Aristocracy of the showbiz world.
Because Eva is an actress at this point, Eva Gabor, her sister. So she does have like the Hollywood pass to get herself into parties.
Yeah, but most actors don't have that.
It's true. Yes. And at a certain party, they meet Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. And she starts going out with him for a bit. But he drops her because he says, you're too clever for me.
Too old for him.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, her sister Eva was on $75 a week, which was decent. She didn't have any money, so she's like, get me some of that. They said Alex Corder, the legendary Hollywood type, he had been given $1 million back in the day by Zsa Zsa's dad. He'd invested $1 million in Alexander Corder. They said, you should go and see him for a job. So she went to see him. Do you remember my dad? He totally funded you. Can you employ me as an actress? And he said, take your clothes off.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Bad enough to say that anyway. But this woman's dad gave you $1 million and that's how you treat her? Oh.
That's showbiz.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, the Me Too movement happened so many years after this, like 80 years. How did it take 80 years of this sort of behaviour? It's despicable. But yeah, you do pretty much have to be a hoe to be an actress in this world.
Yeah.
It does seem that way.
It's funny that she doesn't talk about herself, but she tells us what she does and we can put our own opinion onto that, saying she's a hoe. But she actually talks about all the other actresses in Hollywood being hoes, basically.
Yes.
But she never thinks of herself as
one. No. And also, I kind of got to retract it, actually, because she says that she wants to smash the hypocrisy of Hollywood. All the men can be like Errol Flynn, you know, they're the great men, they can sleep with everyone they want and it makes them this legendary hero. But the women can't talk about that. The women have to be all, you know,
prim and proper and
virtuous. Talk about sex or be the victims of it. And she's like, no, she loves all of it, not all of it, there's some bad behavior, but she's also in control of her sexuality and her sex, you know, just like she's a woman in control who's enjoying a lot of this stuff. And so she's open to talk about it. And that is pretty great.
So then, at the end of 1941, so this is the same year that she fled the war and went to America. Things are happening really quickly. Because in December, she meets a very successful man called Conrad Hilton.
Who hadn't yet started his chain of hotels, in fact.
She's very struck by him. She always says she likes grey-haired, distinguished men, but she's very struck by his resemblance to her father. And he's 61.
Yeah.
Zsa Zsa says she's 17, but she's not. Because if this is 1941, according to Wikipedia, she's 24.
Yeah.
So I think there's a 7-year discrepancy
here. Yeah, that's
here.
Not too much. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's still a huge age gap, but she's not a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
And Conrad actually paid for her mum and dad to come to America. And he helped the mum finance a jewellery store. But she said that he did it in a really kind way because the mum was so proud she'd managed to come over with some silver.
Oh, yeah. And he didn't need any silver, but he bought it all.
He bought it from her so she wouldn't have to ask for any money. And then so Zsa Zsa Gabor's mum, Jolie, sets up this jewellery store in New York and then employs other impoverished European aristocrats, because of course loads of them fled from the war and had to leave everything, especially the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
The Nazis moved in, they had to leave everything behind. They all turned up in New York with nothing.
Yeah.
And now Jolie Gabor has opened this jewelry store and she's employing, among other people, Maria Callas's mother.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Who apparently was down and out. They're going, why aren't you rich if your daughter's this famous opera singer? She said, oh, we've fallen out because she says that her boyfriend was attracted to me. And Jean-Jacques Gabor's mum can relate to this. I know, it's such a weird world, isn't it? That happens to these aristocrats. Because they were Jewish, apparently, but they converted to Catholicism, but they'd have still got.
Yeah.
Annihilated, hence the grandmother and stuff.
Yeah. So she married Conrad Hilton, and he suspected she was after his money, but he married her anyway.
But she really wasn't.
She wasn't, and she didn't get that much anyway, did she?
I don't think she even went for alimony. She never has, apparently.
Oh, she filed for divorce, so she can't.
Yeah,
I think that's what
and she said only after they divorced did he realise that she wasn't after his money. And they stayed friends for their entire life.
Oh.
And he really supported her.
Yeah. But he also had a son who was very similar in age to Zsa Zsa called Nicky. This is the thing. Conrad is a very busy businessman. He loves his money more than his trophy wife. They actually don't spend a lot of time together because he is literally so busy running his empire. So she spends more and more time with the son, Nicky, and they go horse riding and playing tennis. And there is a growing attraction because they are of a similar age. But nothing happens yet, right?
No, because she really loves Conrad. So he had two sons. One's Nicky and one's Baron Hilton. Baron Hilton is the one who went to court after Conrad Hilton died because when he died, he left 365 million to the Catholic Church and gave his kids 100 grand each. Yeah. That includes, because Jean-Jacques Gabor had her only child with him, that includes her. So Baron Hilton and Francesca, Jean-Jacques' daughter, both went to court to contest this will. Francesca lost and got nothing. Baron Hilton took control of the whole Hilton empire.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think it's him who's the granddad of Paris Hilton.
Okay.
I keep looking it up and then forgetting. There's a real family tree there.
Well, you know that I found Conrad Hilton's autobiography in the thrift shop.
Good Lord.
So we need to read it.
Yeah.
We'll do it soon and we'll fill in the gaps.
Amazing. Is that this Conrad?
Yes, it's this Conrad.
Because they all name themselves after themselves. Right.
But interestingly, I don't know how well Zsa Zsa and Conrad are getting on because he does send her to a sanitarium for 7 weeks.
He does. They love doing that, don't they? It's amazing they have the power to do that.
Just
lock your women up if they're crying. There's a lot of blokes who would really go for that. No, there's a jewellery robbery at the house, which was quite traumatic, apparently. Then there was a fire and then her beloved dog died. These are all the traumatic things that happened. Oh, and then he took her to a party. There was a woman lying in a pool with roses all round, and then off he snuck to this back room, and then she went in there and realised he was just zipping up his pants, and there's this naked woman, and he's like, oh, my God, this is a whorehouse.
Yeah.
She's like, you've taken me to a party in a whorehouse. She's very upset, so he sticks her in a sanitarium.
For 7 weeks, but it says when she turned up there, she was in shocking physical condition, and it was all noted that she was... had been brutally assaulted with bruises around her nose and face. So she doesn't say as much, but are we to believe that Conrad beat her up?
I'm going to say yes. I read a book about Liz Taylor, which sadly isn't an autobiography, so we can't do it. Liz Taylor married his son, Nicky, and he beat her up on their honeymoon.
Okay.
Badly. She couldn't leave the room because everyone would see the bruises, so it might run in the family. I don't doubt it.
So
they're all drunks, by the way. They're all real alcoholics, these people.
Although Zsa Zsa maintains that she doesn't drink.
Yeah,
she has the occasional sniff of champagne.
Yeah.
But coming up later, I've got a bit of where I think she's not telling the truth about drinking.
She must fall in and out of it.
Yeah,
she's raised on champagne.
Yes. So when she comes out of the sanitarium, she kind of gets a bit closer to Nicky Hilton and they do end up sleeping together.
She thinks her marriage is over at this point.
But then she gets a phone call from Conrad saying, come to the house. And she says she's so, you know, she's still married to him. So she goes and she says that when she gets there, he basically forces himself upon her. And she says that he rapes me.
And it made her pregnant.
Well, that's the end of the chapter. The first line of the next chapter is 9 months later, my daughter Francesca was born.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a shocking thing to say, even just for your daughter's benefit, to say basically she was born from a rape.
Yes. That daughter's damaged. There's no doubt about this.
Do you know what? I Googled her and I closed my eyes after the first sentence. It just looked tragic.
She's had a terrible life. She died at 66 living in her car. And her dad was bloody Conrad Hilton. You're having a laugh. And her mum was Jean-Jacques. Come on.
Poor woman.
Oh.
Oh, it's such a shame that these people have children. They could give them every opportunity in the world, but they just...
Well, she got raped. I guess she accidentally had a kid. That does imply that.
Oh, yeah. So what you think...
Kind of implies she might not have...
Wanted children.
Maybe she was in some way controlling childbirth, but by being suddenly raped, maybe she couldn't.
Well, she would have had an abortion, wouldn't she?
Oh, God knows.
So her marriage to Conrad does end.
Yeah.
And then she's straight on to the next one.
Well, she's with Nikki for a bit, but that doesn't work. So he marries Liz Taylor. Now I put that together with him beating her up. He's not happy. They were both drunk. She says that Nikki said, oh, Liz Taylor was so drunk, I couldn't stand it. And I'm like, no, they were both really drunk. He died of a heroin overdose at 42, Nikki wow. Hilton. So they were just off their heads.
Mm.
And the whole time he was with Liz, 7 months before they divorced, he was phoning Zsa Zsa trying to get back with her. It's messy.
Yeah.
But then she meets, really, I think, the love of her life.
George?
Yeah.
George Sanders?
Yeah.
Well, because he's possibly the least rich man that she marries, right?
He's successful, but still kind of an ordinary actor.
Yeah. And but actually, by anybody else's standards, he's a very rich, successful man. But
that's
compared
right.
to Conrad Hilton.
Yeah, compared to the billionaires she goes out with. He's humble. I thought, I've never heard of George Sanders. Googled him. Oh, my God. Him.
Yeah.
Seen him in everything. His face is so familiar.
And all of a sudden, so she's now, you know, she's been part of foreign ambassador's dignitaries world, and then she's part of the high-flying business world with Hilton. Now she's part of Hollywood society because she's married to George Sanders.
Yeah. But she really loves him. He seemed British anyway. He actually had some Russian heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Rebecca and The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Yeah.
Both films I've seen.
He's a real swoonsome screen idol, isn't he?
And he was almost engaged to Jean Tierney.
Uh-huh.
He took Zsa Zsa to a party at her house and clearly hadn't told her he was seeing someone else because she looked like a bomb had hit her, which is awful. But he was really controlling in his power over Zsa Zsa because he was always threatening other women or actually just sleeping with other women and telling her about it, which kept her really on a hook.
And he would run her down in front of people. Like she overheard, I think it was James Mason said to George Sanders, oh, Zsa Zsa's a good looking girl. You should try and get her on TV. And George Sanders said, oh, she's too stupid for that. Yeah. And that's really,
really
unnecessary.
Hurtful.
Yeah.
Oh, then he'd say, you know, he'd be flirting with Marilyn Monroe because he was doing a film with her. And then when Zsa Zsa was away for a few days, he said, oh, Marilyn Monroe came round. I opened the door. She was just there in a sable coat and she dropped it and she was wearing nothing at all. She said, oh, I hope you didn't sleep with her. And he went, I had to, didn't I? You know, it's just things like that, the way he'd say it.
I mean, you would, though.
I mean, well, but you don't have to tell your wife.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But
she really runs down Marilyn Monroe in this book.
Well, you see, I would normally say it's not fair, but in that case, she threw herself at this woman's husband.
Mm-hmm.
So then she has every right to trash Marilyn.
I guess.
She does call her stupid and all those things, which I really don't think she was at all. But she was a bit of a hoe.
Well, she says that they shared the same hotel and she kept her door propped open so she could watch people coming in and out of Marilyn Monroe's room. And she says she would have 4 men a night. All of the men from the crew would just keep coming in and out of her room.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true? Or do you think she's just...
I think it's possible. She said she made George watch this on purpose because he was feeling all like, oh, she's all in love with me. She was like, don't be so arrogant. She'll sleep with anything. Look, let's do this and you'll see. And it put George off her.
So George deliberately makes Zsa Zsa jealous and then he's off making a film with another, I forget who it is, but another leading actress. And she's really worried that he's out there shagging her. And George has a brother called Tom, who also works in Hollywood. Is he an actor? I think he's also an actor. And he comes to Zsa Zsa and he says, look, I'm making a TV pilot. Why don't you come and be a part of it? And she was so angry at George and also him saying she was too stupid to be on TV that she thought, why not? And there was this TV show called Bachelor Haven, which basically just consisted of Zsa Zsa sitting in front of a camera, opening letters from the audience and giving them advice like an agony aunt. So she did it. And just her natural personality won through, didn't it? Because she's hilarious.
She's actually a real improviser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has real comedic skill, and the camera loved her. They did this show on TV, and it was a hit. She says within a week, she was on the cover of Life magazine and Cosmopolitan magazine.
Yeah. She said, people talk about an overnight success, but because it was live TV, it was a half-hour success. Half an hour later, she was nationwide famous.
Wow.
It's amazing.
And within a month, MGM had offered her a movie contract.
Yeah.
Because she looks incredible.
Called lovely to look at.
And George Sanders went away to make a film. And when he came back, his wife was all of a sudden very famous.
And that's a star. And he'd always said he doesn't ever want to go out with someone more famous than him. He doesn't want to be outshined. Also, his first film, he got $250 a week for. She was getting 10 grand a week.
Yes.
She said the birth of her career equaled the death of her marriage. But he, when he went to that film, he said, don't come with me because you'll ruin my fun. And she knew what that meant.
Yeah.
So she said, because he made her feel so insecure, she thought, I've got to earn my own money because he could drop me at any point because that's what he was making her feel. So he did that to himself.
And, you know, like when they would go out to parties and stuff, up till that point, people would come over to talk to George. Yeah. But now people were coming over to talk to her first, which really put his nose out of joint. So that was the end of their marriage. So she's getting a film career and she goes to England for 6 months making the original film of Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, I really need to see that.
It was a massive, massive hit.
Yeah.
This is what I didn't realise about Zsa Zsa Gabor. I thought she was this figure of fun in the 80s. Actually, she was a big film star in the 50s.
I agree. I didn't know that. And I own the theme to Moulin Rouge on a record, which is absolutely brilliant. And I never really thought, oh, it's from a film I need to see with Zsa Zsa Gabor in.
At the premiere of Moulin Rouge, she met Porfirio Rubio Rosa.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's slightly vengeful because she said that George had been flirting with this woman called Doris Duke, who actually did look up. She was massively rich tobacco heiress. She actually got so concerned that they were having an affair that she hired a detective and found they were having an affair. So she said, in revenge, I'm going to sleep with Ruby Rosa, who was her ex-husband, who she really still wanted to get back with. So she'd said that as a throwaway thing. And by total coincidence, when George Sanders refused to accompany her to her own premiere of Moulin Rouge, that night she met Ruby Rosa, and he completely was in love with her. I think he took her and her mother into a special room and bowled them over, and that was the beginning of their massive affair.
He was a real playboy, wasn't
he? Yeah. So I think with Zsa Zsa, she was as beautiful as Marilyn Monroe, as glamorous. She was also highly educated, extremely funny, and rich in her own right.
She was very hard to impress. Men had to really work hard because she'd already had like three hugely successful husbands.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Ruby Rosa's coming in like the big I am. And she's like, well, prove yourself.
Yeah. But you can see the attraction because she was also really good company. So, yeah, you get this amazing arm candy who's also got a brain so you can actually get on with them in your private time. Because she actually says at one point, the best thing to be for a man is to be a really good friend. Ultimately, when you get past all the rest, you've actually got someone you really want to hang out with. So she was a real catch on so many levels.
There's so much more to this woman than I realised.
Yeah.
And I know this is herself blowing her own trumpet. I don't know why. I guess because of the accent and the fact she's blonde and covered in diamonds, we're attuned to think she's a bimbo.
Yeah.
And she really isn't.
Yeah, do you know where she starts this book by actually saying people think all of this of me, and what nobody knows is that I would give every diamond I've ever owned, I would give it away if I could have one of my animals back.
Oh, yeah.
She's not who you think she is, which is why it's so fascinating. Yeah.
So her and Ruby Rosa really go in head first.
Oh, my God. Yeah, after one night, she's head over heels in love. It's not real love.
She said, well, she said she never wanted to leave after that first night. But she also says she became so involved in this love affair that she believes that's where she missed the chance with her career. Because Moulin Rouge had just hit big. She was a massive star.
Yeah, she should have pursued it.
She recognises now that she should have been pursuing her career. But she says ultimately she doesn't care because she's loved the way her life has turned out. But she realises at that moment in time, had she concentrated on her career rather than Ruby, she'd have been as big as Marilyn Monroe, possibly.
Yeah, she was hot property, but she was also hot in other departments.
Yeah, but she's still married to George, right?
She was still married to George. And he kept saying, Ruby Rossi kept saying, leave him and marry me. But she was like, yeah, but I love him. And then she basically, she carried on with both for a while.
Yes, she did. Yeah, but then Ruby hit her, right?
Yeah, my God. He said he was going to go off and marry Barbara Hutton.
Who's another heiress.
I looked her up. She's very tragic.
Is she?
Yeah, she was an heiress of Woolworths. And everybody used her for her money. And she really got badly screwed over. It's very sad. Including this man, Ruby Rossi, because he married her for money on purpose. Because he didn't actually have any of his own wealth. Because his last wife had been the wealthy one. I mean, he became very wealthy from that, but he was throwing it around a lot.
Barbara Hutton said to him, I'll give you $5 million if you marry me. He then said to Zsa Zsa Gabor, if you don't marry me, I'm going to marry Barbara Hutton because I need the money.
Yeah.
And so he married Barbara Hutton.
Yeah, and it
for 72 days.
72 days. And in that time, she gave him so much. She gave him like vineyards and mansions and cars and a plane. In that tiny amount of time, he took it all and then left her. Honestly, her life is bad. God, it was all going on in this high society, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's despicable behaviour. Yeah. What's hilarious to me is reading the Dalai Lama and then going straight into reading this. Like, the actual exact opposite of the purpose in life. The purpose for these people is to have great sex and get rich.
Yeah.
The exact opposite of the Dalai Lama. It's best mashup I've ever had.
Hey, there's a crossover here with one of the other autobiographies that we've read.
Yes.
A friend of Ruby called Ramphis, I don't know how you pronounce it, who is the son of the Dominican Republic president.
That's right.
Comes over and wants to get to know a young actress called Joan Collins. Now, we've read about this exact event in her book, but Zsa Zsa tells it slightly differently, although we were very suspicious of Joan.
Yes, we were, but I think what he did is he went to Zsa Zsa and said, can you hook me up with some of the beautiful, glamorous women of Hollywood? And she hooked him up with Kim Novak, who was her next-door neighbour, who was actually too keen. She was all over him. She was like, she'll sleep with him immediately, and he found her too loose. So he tried Joan Collins, who was a bit more English.
A bit more demure.
Yeah.
She flew across America, right, to go to his boat.
Yes.
No, but she would only go if he gave her a present.
Yes.
And then he gave her a £100,000 necklace, was it?
Yeah, I think it was some diamond necklace.
And then when Zsa Zsa said, how did it go with Joan? He said, well, I picked her up at the first port, dropped her off at the second because she was so boring.
Boring. But in her book, she says they spent the night, she slept with him and they had an amazing night and she took away this necklace. And then I can't remember who her husband was at the time, but he was so jealous of this one night she spent. She had to go to, I think, Zsa Zsa's mother's mum.
It was.
And get a fake version of that necklace made so that she could do this dramatic throwing it into the sea. You mean so much to me, I don't even want this. And it was just a fake one and she kept that necklace. He must have said, oh, I dropped her off, she was boring, because he wanted to impress Zsa Zsa or not seem like...
Okay.
I don't know.
Zsa Zsa says...
Well, I don't know, because Joan here.
Zsa Zsa's interpretation of it is that Joan never wanted to sleep with him. So once she got her hands on the necklace, she'd become very, very standoffish and make it that she wouldn't sleep with him so she would get dropped off.
Yeah.
Whereas Joan says that she did have a night of passion. Did she say that?
I'm pretty sure she did. Oh, anyway, it's very interesting to me.
Yeah, I love two sides of the story.
And he went off and gave Zsa Zsa an 80 grand chinchilla coat. But it got them in a lot of trouble because the Dominican Republic had just been given 10 million aid from America. And it got to the news that he was throwing it around on Hollywood hoes.
He also bought her a convertible Mercedes as well.
That's pretty great.
Wow. She was even discussed in the Senate because they'd just given 10 million aid to Dominican Republic. And in the Senate, the politicians were saying they've given half of it back to Shasha Gabor. Yeah.
Joan and Kim Novak. Oh, my God.
So here's the next kind of unusual event in their lives. George Sanders, who Shasha is now divorced from, marries her sister Magda.
Oh, well, what happened was, I think, George went off and married another woman, Benita Coleman, who was the same age as him, and they had a really good marriage. And she died of cancer in 1967. She's leaping about a bit.
Oh, no, she does leap to tie up George, yeah.
But after that, she really spent a lot of time with him when he was really upset and recovering, and he realised he absolutely loved her. But by the way, they'd done films in the meantime. In fact, when they got divorced, she says they went to court, got divorced, and went home and went to bed together. And they never stopped sleeping with each other for the rest of their lives. And about 4 years after that, they did a film together and picked up exactly where they left off and were just together. After his wife died, he just really wanted to marry her again. And when she kept refusing, he eventually married her sister instead. And then kept phoning her up and saying, yeah, I don't want this sister, I want you.
He kept calling Magda Zsa-Zsa. So I think the whole thing was just
miserable for the sister.
Say it's miserable for Magda, but actually she did marry her sister's ex-husband, which is weird, isn't it?
Yes. She actually says she was hurt and bewildered. And she actually had to go to the wedding and put on the act of her life to pretend she was all right with it. She really wasn't. Oh, my God, there's just so much stuff that happens in this book.
But at this time, isn't it for an odd period of time, Zsa-Zsa's actually free and single?
Yeah, that is like the biggest danger. Right, men. There's a chapter where she just goes through many of the men she's been with. She says she was with a millionaire called Hal Hayes, who had a 7-floor side of a mountain house, which had a tree coming up through the middle of it. He had champagne on tap, actually on tap. Nice. That's incredible. Then she went on a date with Frank Sinatra.
That was amazing.
Which is, okay, they went on a date. They had a really good time. He says he's going to drop her home. He drops her home and then he barges his way to the front door and says, I'm not leaving until you have sex with me. She says, I'm not going to. Get out of here. Please leave my home. No. She said if he'd have asked nicely, she probably would have. Because at that time, everyone wanted to sleep with him, but he was so pushy and aggressive, she didn't want to. Her daughter's asleep in the house, the maid's there. Anyway, the maid came out, are you all right? To save face, he said, I've got a headache. She said, look, please will you put him in the spare room and look after him? I'm going to bed. He spends all night banging on her door. In the morning, he's still there. She's trying to get her daughter to school without seeing Frank's car outside. Eventually, she says, I'm not going to leave until you have sex with me. So eventually, after about an hour of this, she says, all right then. It's not where I thought it was going. And then she said, he knew that I hated him. So he took revenge on me. How is he now owing her revenge?
Yeah.
But he did. He did it various ways. When they were in Vegas doing their shows, he took revenge on her in various ways for sleeping with her to get rid of him. Good grief.
Well, he's not a nice man.
He's an amazing man if you're a man. If you're his man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a terrible man if you're a woman.
I think he's a terrible man. I'm a man.
You're not his mate. Would have been not a great mate to have.
No, I don't think so.
If you're a womanising man. Okay. I have to narrow it much further down. If you're Quincy Jones, best mate ever.
Okay.
If you're anyone else, nightmare. Richard Burton. Richard Burton was an erotic animal. And really funny. And they had 3 days together just in every room of the house. She just tells you too much. Oh, my God. And they remain friends forever. But her and Liz Taylor share a lot of blokes. Richard Harris.
Oh, my God, Richard Harris, who was so drunk he had to be spoon-fed by his assistant.
Yeah. And then she had to call the police to get him off her front lawn because he was singing Moulin Rouge songs at her or something. So she didn't sleep with him because she was too drunk, but she did sleep with Sean Connery, who was absolutely perfect and hairless. Yeah.
She said if she'd met Sean Connery first, she'd have stayed married to him and had 10 kids.
This is the thing. She thinks she would have because she marries people when she's just met them.
Yeah, right.
She doesn't know him properly. She may not have.
He might not have wanted to stay married to her.
Exactly. Herbert Hutner.
Well, she married him, right?
She married him. On the third date, he gave her a $3 million ring.
Wow. But yeah, I felt for him because she said he was so nice and kind to me, I became deeply depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you a lot about her.
It really does.
She likes the battle between male and female, doesn't she? And all of a sudden she meets this man who actually treats her nicely.
It idolised her.
Yeah.
She married him after 2 weeks. But she said she was very upset because her sister had had an accident. She was very upset. So, you know, she was a bit vulnerable.
So that's a shame that actually the one guy who actually is going to treat her right and looks like he wants to stay with her for the rest of his life, who is hugely rich.
Epically rich. But she loved her dad and her dad was volatile and that sets the precedent, doesn't it? Also, she does like the adventure. She loves it. She talks about that time with Ruby Rosser when they're just absolutely wild and free and abandoned and going from parties and just racing and horse riding and just, she is a wild woman. She can't be tamed.
Yeah, and poor Herbert was just a bit too boring for
her.
And
she was really upset about having to break up with him. He cried and then he married somebody much better and everything was okay.
I mean, she was so upset that it took her no time at all to meet her next husband, Joshua Coston Jr.
Well, they definitely crossed over. Yeah, because she definitely had an affair with him. He was Texan oil rich.
Yeah. But he was obsessed with being part of society.
Yeah. He had 3 Renoirs in the toilet.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? They were only married for 6 months.
Yeah.
He was a real racist, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a racist, anti-Semitic, which is insane. Because she was like, do you not realise all my friends are Jewish? And he obviously didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she didn't know him when she married him. This is another thing, because it's all sexual. And then then they get to know each other. I don't know why they have to marry. She didn't marry Ruby Rosser. They don't have to marry. But she loved the romance of it. Oh, God. She had a bad robbery, which is...
Oh, yeah, that was awful because she's at a hotel. The president is there or something. So the place is literally filled with secret agent people. And she goes into an elevator to go up to her apartment and there's 2 guys with suits in there. So she thinks, well, you know, this is safe. And the lift operator is in there.
Yeah.
And as soon as the lift doors close, they pull out guns and rob her of her jewellery. She is wearing a lot of expensive jewellery, I have to say.
I mean, seriously, she says that and then she goes, they robbed me of my $3 million. A ring, my $80,000 earrings. Those earrings, by the way, were given to her by Harry Winston himself, who said it took 7 years to collect those diamonds. Mm-hmm. And he wistfully said, I don't think I'll ever be able to repeat this. They were like that one off. Apparently, Noel Coward said to her, you're basically walking around with about $5 million. You're going to get robbed. That's probably the nicest way to get robbed, actually.
What, at gunpoint in an elevator?
Well, yeah, she didn't get injured. It totally fractured her psyche, though.
Talking of Noel Coward, what we're not saying at this point, because we're talking about all the men, is that she's still having a great career in theatre.
Yeah.
She's in Blythe Spirit, and then she gets this show called 40 Carats.
Yeah, which they all then thought she got robbed for publicity.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they were like, yes, you got robbed. This is great publicity. Do you know, it suddenly makes me realise, because there's an Agatha Christie where a famous actress gets robbed and was it paste and did they actually have any money? And this will be based on this possibly this actual incident because it would have made worldwide news. Preposterous to carry that amount of money on a ring.
But mind you, that she's from aristocracy.
Yeah, I know.
So
still,
she just
absolutely
doesn't get it.
$3 million, it's insane.
But her life isn't sane.
It's insane, her life.
I also love, so she's marrying all these rich people, and I love that she also can't help herself from writing in this book, oh, another man who wanted to marry me was J. Paul Getty, one of the richest men in the world. It's just like she's letting us know at every opportunity
that
all the richest men in the world want to marry her. I love it.
And then she went out with the Duke of Marlborough, who was a much older man who lived in Blenheim Palace.
Yes.
Once home of Churchill.
And then he was annoyed because her horse ruined his croquet lawn.
This whole world is bizarre. To get to dive into it by opening this book is a treat.
Because she's also meeting like Elvis and the Beatles and Marlon
Brando.
They're all
after her.
She tells you they're all after
her. She does. I do believe them. Henry Kissinger.
JFK.
Oh, she went out with him for 6 months. But
she could have been First Lady.
Oh, my God.
She says...
Well, she nearly was. I mean, yeah.
But that's the thing. I don't know how much to believe at this point because she's literally had some kind of liaison with every single famous man from this period. And then she says, oh, JFK, I was hanging out with him and had this nice little thing with him. And one day I was on an aeroplane and sat next to me was this nice young photographer.
Jacqueline.
Bouvier.
Yeah.
Then she says, we got chatting. When we got off the plane together, we went to baggage reclaim. JFK came over to me and said, oh, darling, Zsa Zsa, how lovely to see you again. And we were kissing. Oh, then it became very awkward because I realised Jacqueline was probably seeing him and he gave me all of his attention first. It's like, yeah. Shut up.
And then she obviously would have known something had gone on between us. That's the only president where I was never invited to the White House. Every other president she was, because she was mates with Reagan and Nancy, yeah. Nixon. She campaigned for a lot of these people as well. She is up there in society, though.
She is, but it's also at this point, it's like she's Forrest Gump. She's literally meeting every single famous person who ever lived.
I think she is, though.
She is, okay.
And this is the thing, we can't complain, because when we read autobiographies where they're missing out all these stories, what we really want is all of the stories, and she's giving us them all. If she's got more, I can't take it. I could read her life forever. It's brilliant.
So then, more husbands. Jack Ryan is her sixth husband. He was a designer for Mattel who said he designed the Barbie doll. But if you watch a Barbie film, actually he didn't. It was a woman.
Yeah, I know. I looked it up. He did design the Barbie doll.
He did.
He totally did.
So what's that film all about?
Well, the Mattel woman. A woman invented Mattel and sort of probably got the concepts of dolls.
Okay.
But he was the designer for it.
Okay.
Because I was like that. What? This is supposed to be all women. The Barbie's a lie. But no, he just designed them. But it was a man who designed them, and they missed that out of the film.
They certainly did. But
he was a man-ho.
He was, and he wanted Zsa Zsa to be a swinger with him.
Yeah.
And she learned very quickly that this marriage was all about sex with multiple people, which is why it only lasted 7 months.
He had mistresses living with him and two of his ex-wives still in the house.
Not ideal. So that was her sixth husband. Yep. And then her seventh husband was a divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
Who divorced her and the sixth
husband. Yeah. It's hilarious.
But she was married to him for 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's the only one she's not friends with now.
And then she had that other husband who wasn't really a husband because it lasted a day and they got married on a ship and it wasn't really legal.
Yeah, annulled it immediately.
And then husband number nine, who was her last husband, was Prince Frederick von Anhalt, who was German royalty. And it's quite weird, actually, how they got together, because she was getting a photo shoot with a German photographer and he was with Prince Frederick a few days before. And he went to his house and there were framed photographs of Zsa Zsa Gabor over his house. And he said to him, why do you have these photos? And Prince Frederick is like, this is my ideal woman. This is a woman I want to marry. The photographer says, this is weird. I'm going to shoot her next week. And Prince Frederick said, here's $5,000 if you can give me an introduction to her. And he did. And that is Zsa Zsa Gabor's ninth husband.
Yeah. And it's really dodgy. I investigated further into this. she actually tells us that he wasn't a real prince. He was friends with the prince. And the prince died tragically young. And his mother, don't forget, the whole royalty is disbanded there. What do you call it?
Discontinued, expired, discontinued due to lack of interest.
Yeah, that's all of the above. And the mother, who would have been the princess.
Decommissioned.
Is it?
Don't know.
We both know. We'll think of it after. The mother adopted him and made him prince, so he wasn't in the family. And all the other relatives were furious, but there was no other male heir. So when she died, they'd been together for a while, him and Zsa Zsa. And he flew to Germany for some months to take on all of his inheritance, which were many castles and stuff, and all the angry relatives that were mad about him taking this all on, but he did take it on. Whilst he was there, he had to admit when he got back to Zsa Zsa, he'd had an affair with a 19-year-old girl, and he'd always said to her, can't marry you, I'm going to marry someone else, he said. But when he went to leave, she killed herself.
Yeah, isn't that awful?
And so he had that hanging over him. So it's pretty dodgy, I have to say. And she said, doesn't matter, I'm going to marry you anyway. That's how she went into that marriage. And then there's
but she gets to be a princess. What does she care?
She got to be an actual princess and move to Germany and live in the castles.
Do you love the picture of them?
Yeah.
They really look like a proper royal couple.
They actually do. Yeah. And they look good together.
Yeah, they do.
You can't tell there's like 90 years difference.
But he's younger than her this time,
he's
right?
He's way younger. Oh, yeah, that's the first time. Now, he's a good 30 years younger than her or more. And he's with her till she's 100 and, you know, he really looks after her.
Yeah. That's her last marriage and it's a proper marriage and she's happy in it also, she said. But mind you, she stopped writing this book within that marriage, right?
Yeah, we
don't know
no
how it panned
clue
out.
How that actually panned out.
Yeah. Anyway, we need to wrap this up, but we do need to say quick, because this book started with her in prison. So how did she get into prison? So she's just out having a nice time with her friends and she's driving home and she gets pulled over by the police because her license plate has expired. Yeah. And she says this really gorgeous policeman gets out who looks like Tom Selleck. Yeah. And he says to her, can you step out of the car? And she's cooperating, but she says she's terrified because she notices his gun.
He's obviously being aggressive as well.
When I was searching for her mugshot, which isn't in this book, in the police report it says she had an open bottle of alcohol in the car.
Right, so she was pissed.
Well, she never talks about being a drinker in this book, which made me give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there was just an empty bottle in the car.
I can't believe she doesn't drink.
If it was just her license plate being expired, why would it escalate to that? I don't know. I think the stakes might have been a bit higher for her. Perhaps she was drink driving.
Oh, I bet she was really obnoxious as well. I really bet she was. Who do you think, you know, I bet it all kicked off.
Well, you know what I found now? There's a whole hour documentary about the court case on YouTube and I'm dying to watch it. In fact, I'm going to watch it right now. Not least because I read some of the transcript and she's so rude to everybody in the court case. She even says to the policeman, you only acted like this with me because you're gay and you're jealous of all the men I've had.
Amazing.
Like, in court, she's saying.
I've seen interviews with her where she's saying, oh, I don't speak to my servant because they're uneducated and stupid. So... You know, yeah.
So in this book, she's put her best self forward. But if you look for footage of her on the internet, it can kind of be a contrast to who she's told us she is in this book. Yeah. Okay. I mean, what a ride.
Oh, my God. She is so fascinating. I am never going to not investigate into her further. She's part of my life now. She's invited us in. And if you think we've told you everything, we
have. Oh, you have to get this book and read it. When she was asked to write her autobiography, she really delivered.
Yeah, she really did.
We've read a lot now, and some of them really do fall short. Drew Barrymore. Yeah. And this is a complete opposite. Like, she's told us literally everything there, and possibly too much.
Yeah, it's gold, isn't it? It's autobiography gold.
It's diamonds. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Thrift Shop Biography. We love making this podcast and we're absolutely thrilled that so many of you are already listening. We're new to this and you could really help us out by leaving us a review somewhere, wherever you listen to this podcast. And if you could share us, tell your friends about us or drop some links on social media. We have a Facebook page called Thrift Shop Biography. So make sure you come over there to hear about the episodes first and what else we're up to. Okay, see you next week. And if you're new here, there are loads more episodes now to go and listen in the back catalogue. So make sure you go and enjoy them. Okay, thank you very much.